The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with South Beach Showdown. Will Jason Tatum be feeling the heat in Miami tonight? We'll talk about that. Plus, Luka is lit. After lighting up the Suns, his sights are now set on Golden State. Why Steph and the Warriors should be very worried about the surging Mavericks. And is James Harden calling out his critics? Could he possibly turn things around in Philadelphia? Got a lot to talk about this morning. As we say good morning to you on Get Up, I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. Look who's back at the Seaport this morning. Mr. 94 Feet, Pat Beverly's here. J.J. Redick is here, also joining us to talk hoops, Monica McNutt. She's live in Miami, where game one of the Eastern Conference Finals gets underway tonight, and that is where we are going to start this morning with the Celtics versus the Heat and Jason Tatum. He's the key for Boston. In the first round against Brooklyn, Tatum averaged over 29 points and 7 assists as the Seas swept KD and the Nets. And then against the defending champion Bucks in the conference semifinals, Tatum had 3 30-point games, including a 46 in game 6, as Boston eliminated Giannis and company in 7 games. So up next, Jimmy Butler and the Heat, conference finals. Butler's currently fourth in these playoffs in points per game at 28.7, while Tatum is fifth at 28.3. Twin superstars going at it in this one. That's why we got to bring in our superstars. And Pat Bev, I'm going to start off with you because all the talk right now is Jason Tatum. What must Tatum do in this series for the Celtics to win it?
I say be aggressive. Be aggressive on both ends, offensively and defensively. Don't have one of those games where you go, I don't know, 4 for 9. You go leave your clip out, leave it out. You won't have a game where you go 6 for 23, 6 for 24. But you're not going to have a lot of those games. Just stay aggressive offensively and defensively and see where the dominoes fall from there.
AJ, what do you think?
I think it comes down to decision-making. When Jason Tatum is at his best, he's making good decisions. And by decision-making, I mean shot selection. I mean being quick with the ball, being able to catch and go. You don't want to play dribble game against this Miami Heat defense. We saw it with James Harden in that Sixers series. They're going to have multiple defenders in the gap. And then passing. I thought at times in that Bucks series, his passing was phenomenal. But he's averaging 4 turnovers a game in these playoffs. And the Heat rely on turnovers to get out in transition and score.
Okay, it'll be interesting there. Monica, your thoughts?
I agree with both of these guys, and I said it's got to be his ability to score, facilitate, and defend, right? Like, he has to have at least 2 of those 3 at all times during the course of this series. To JJ's point in terms of decision-making, the Heat are forcing the highest percentage of turnovers in the playoffs so far, and so if you turn the ball over, you give them life. But if they find a way to make it difficult for Jason to score, I imagine that they're probably going to do what the Celtics did to KD to Jason a bit. He's still got to be able to find his teammates because I think the depth is where the Celtics have an advantage in terms of offensive firepower in this series.
Monica, does he have to be the best superstar in this series for them to win it?
Ooh, I think so. I think so, Ryan. I mean, when you look at who the counterpart would be in terms of Jimmy Butler, who has absolutely been carrying the Heat through, like, Jason Tatum is the guy for the Celtics squad. And we've talked so much about him bringing his chair now to the table as he's taken out KD and Giannis. That has to continue, and Jimmy Butler is his next target.
I like that you asked that. What do you mean by superstar? I think so much of the talk around Tatum has been he has ascended into that top 5, top 10 level. But does he have to be a top 5 player in the NBA to get them to the finals?
I just think he has to be the best version of himself, right? I know y'all say facilitate, but if you're indecisive facilitating, it's not going to be good at facilitating. If you're coming out aggressive, the defense knows you're aggressive. Now they're forcing you to put in one body in front of you. Now you can make plays easier. But that's why I just said aggressive on both ends. You know, just however it goes, you know, I like to sleep better knowing that I laid all left all my shells at the game, and, you know, I leave it like that. So I'm not going to.
Pat, what was the genesis of your question, though?
Superstar? Like, when you mean superstar, do you mean, like, does he have to be the best player in the playoffs from this time? And I just think he needs to be him.
Be the best version of himself.
Yeah, and whatever that is, you know, aggressively, offensively, or defensively, we'll see at the end of the series.
Go ahead, Monica.
So, Pat, I love the way you phrased it there, but don't you think that if he is that, that will equate to him having a superstar performance?
Yeah, I can't justify that in him and Luka might, I don't know, score 50 or Steph might hit 10 threes. You know what I'm saying?
Like, okay,
you know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to understand, like, you know, the best superstar.
I guess what Monica's saying isn't the best version of Jason Tatum that we've seen in these playoffs. That is a superstar.
Okay, 43, one game.
Absolutely.
16, one
29,
game.
7, and 5.
Okay.
That's a superstar. Yeah, that's a superstar in the playoffs. Two-way brilliance. Yeah, that's
a
superstar.
Shout out to my guy, JJ.
Aggressive on both ends.
Okay, and then the other wild card in this series that I find so interesting is the situation surrounding Marcus Smart. Because right now, if you look at this, Marcus Smart is considered questionable for game one. Midfoot sprain, they say he possibly sustained it when he fell over Giannis in the last game. They gave him an MRI. Woj said the MRI came back clean, but he's testing that right midfoot today. So, JJ, can the Celtics win game one if Marcus Smart is up?
They absolutely can. They won game two by 23 in Boston against the Milwaukee Bucks without Marcus Smart. Pat and I talked about this yesterday when we talked about the best players remaining in the playoffs. We both feel like Marcus Smart is in the top five or six of players left. He's that important to the Boston Celtics. And yes, his numbers may not jump out at you, but his ability to defend, make winning plays, deflections, offensive rebounds, all the things Pat Bev does, you know, that is so important to these Celtics.
I don't think he's going to be out. I mean, I don't know why we.
You think he's going to play?
I mean, it's Marcus Smart. It's the conference, you know, it's the conference final. I don't think he's not going to play. So I don't want to waste, you know, time talking about something that, you know, he's going to.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
suit up tomorrow.
I love it. He's like, I don't even want to tackle this.
Right
midfoot sprain.
Yeah.
You are an elite defender just like he's an elite defender. Right midfoot sprain. How hard is it for him to play his game with that kind of injury if something that's bothering him?
He just had a shoulder pop back in place.
Mm.
I mean, you talk about toughness. Yeah, you go do it. He's Marcus Smart. You're supposed to do it. His team is dependent on him. It's that time. Everyone's hurting the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So it's that time, you know, put a bandage on it, put a little angel dust on it, whatever you need, and get ready for the game.
Can I just make one comment real quick?
Please.
Because I just noticed this. Your fit is elite right now. I just noticed the cutoff sweater, the Dior. Like, bro, that's fire.
That's fire.
No, I don't know if I've seen that before, cutoff sweater. It's nice.
With the
pulled up sleeves.
The pants and the shoes, Dior.
Yeah, no,
too.
He's looking good. We got a
head to toe.
Don't worry, folks. We're going to show the full outfit as we go.
Yeah, I appreciate that, though, Jada.
There you go. Look at this. It's love all around. Speaking of Marcus Smart, just rub some Tussin on it. He'll be just fine.
Solid.
Okay, there you go. And by the way, speaking of competition, speaking of just getting over the injury and just playing, let's go over to Western Conference Finals. That's going to feature two enormous superstars in Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. And by the way, Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, he talked about the challenge of facing Doncic. Take a listen to this.
I think the Dallas team is very similar to Houston from a few years ago, you know, with the five out spacing, you know, five shooters on the floor. And obviously, Doncic is tremendous player and can beat you in a lot of different ways and really smart. I think very similar to Harden in that regard. So, but yeah, we've got a big challenge.
I like how he's tying it back to Harden, that team of a couple years ago, your former teammate.
Oh.
You were on some of those teams a couple years ago. So how do you think they'll try to slow down Luka?
I think they're going to put a lot of bodies on him. I don't know if Draymond starts on him from the beginning, but I know he's going to finish on him sometime throughout the series. I don't think that he's overpowering, you know, Draymond in a post like that. I like that matchup a lot. And they're used to it. Like Steve Kerr said, they're used to it. They played James Harden when he was by himself. They played LeBron James. I wouldn't say by himself, but with the others next to him. They played LeBron James in the finals when, you know, they played LeBron with and Kyrie together. So this is a phase that they're used to. They've been down this road before. I said it, you know, last series. I say it now. I like the Warriors in this series.
I think the difference here with this team, though, they don't have a healthy Andre Iguodala. They don't have a Kevin Durant. They don't have the big wing defenders. And if, you know, no offense to Otto Porter or you know, Kuminga, who's a second-year player.
Wiggins?
Wiggins on Luka?
I mean, I said to start, but to Draymond.
Well, see, the thing with Draymond, I think Draymond's at his best when he's in the post, when he's guarding bigger defenders like Jokic in the post, and then when he's playing help side. He's such a genius. He knows where everything is on the court.
You said
on the perimeter. Oh, We saw in the first series. But I'm saying, Luka is guarded by all types of players. Laterally quick players, slow-footed players. He's going to hunt the matchup that he wants. And if Draymond has some success on him, he's going to go hunt someone else.
Right.
That's just how Luka plays. He's going to find the matchup. He's going to have the ball in his hands for 18, 19 seconds in his shot clock until he gets the matchup he wants.
Okay. I think they're used to it. I just feel like and with all of that, they're still used to it. They've seen it. They've seen it over the years with different teams. So I like the Warriors and Draymond Green ain't one of those guys that just go back down. His will is way bigger than his fight. So I'm pretty sure he ain't gonna lay down an egg when it comes to that.
Okay, it'd be interesting to see him try to impose his will as Luka's trying to take over the game. Monica, what do you think?
I love this conversation between these two guys. Here's the one thing I would ask you, though, Pat, right? Like, if Draymond does end up spending the largest percentage of time guarding Luka, the energy on the other end, because we know Draymond is an important catalyst to facilitating, there's that word again, but to everything that the Warriors do, does that then, the stamina thing come into play? Because Luka's a tough guard, like, however that goes.
Yeah, I think if you look at it the opposite way, you know, they just went game seven. Draymond Green, he's been, unfortunately, he's been out half the season because of some injuries. So I don't think it's more of a stamina point. I think, the Warriors just starting to get their legs up under him. You know, Luka just went game seven. You know, he went game seven last year, the game seven the year before that. You know, that's taxing when you put all that together. So I think that from a stamina standpoint, I think Draymond Green and the Warriors go be elite.
So just wear him down, JJ. Maybe that's part of the plan, just wear him down. I wonder how Jason Kidd contrasts that.
Well, everybody tries to wear Luka down.
Doesn't seem to work.
I go back to his pace. Dallas is one of the slowest teams in the league. They're going to play at their place, their pace. Luka's going to have the ball in his hands the majority of possessions. It's not like he's running all over the court. Like, he's making his right to left in between, left to right in between, he's either attacking your top foot or he's shooting the step back three. There's not the Steph Curry movement. You know what I mean? The taxing part, Luka's built for the playoffs. Pat knows this. He's played against him twice. The Suns know this. The Utah Jazz know. Like, he is built for the playoffs.
How would you guard him?
I'm forcing him right in isolations and pick and roll. I'm forcing him left. He's not a really good passer going left. Left hand to those corners. So, I'm in them tight. I'm showing help. Maybe I'm leaving Kleber a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm making people like that kind of beat me from the three-point line and kind of make my decision from there. But isolations, I'm forcing them right. And pick and roll, I'm forcing them left.
I like it. Yeah. Watch for that tonight, folks, when you're watching. Watch that when you see the game. Oh. Game one, Warriors, Mavericks tomorrow. Now, coming up,
nobody.
James Harden. Calling out his critics. We'll be talking about this. Could he possibly turn things around in Philadelphia? We'll talk about that with his former teammate right over here. Plus, is this the worst first pitch we've ever seen? Take a look at it. And there it goes. We'll talk about that. We get up continues. I wish you could see everybody around the studio saying, what?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up, and we're talking James Harden. Now, look, James Harden has lost in the second round with three different teams over the last three postseasons. He's averaged nearly 30 a game, in the 2020 playoffs alongside Russell Westbrook, but the Rockets fell in the conference semis to the Lakers. And then as a Net in 2021, he teamed up with KD and Kyrie, and he averaged 20 a game in the playoffs, but Brooklyn was ousted in seven by Milwaukee in round two. And then this postseason, with the 76ers, he averaged just under 19 a game in the postseason as Philly was bounced in the conference semis in Miami. So here's the deal. On Sunday, Harden took to Instagram and shared this cryptic post as an IG story. I'd be quiet about
stuff.
What? Let's just say stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's a morning show. I just let people talk. It's a lot that goes into it. Keep pushing. Pat, you play with him?
Yeah.
You know him?
Love him.
What do you think he means here?
Like, I'm going to go right at it. Like Matt Barnes, right? Matt Barnes made comments yesterday, which he's entitled to. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, right? But Matt Barnes is also an NBA player also. So for him to make comments, you know, supporting his opinion about, you know, the Chris Paul and all that, I respect, I totally do. But you go up there and you tell your NBA brethren, you go up there and you tell the whole world that this man doesn't deserve his money. When you were just in the NBA, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, what if someone said that to you? You'd be ready to fight. But now, since you're not in the league no more, it's okay for you to talk about this man not giving the money that he's worked his entire life to deserve? Like, I don't understand it. Like, who raised you guys? Like, how come are you able to speak about somebody getting cooked, but then when it's your NBA brother in the same league that you played in, the same way that you take care of your family, all of a sudden, he doesn't deserve this? Like, no one did that to you. I just don't understand it. But at the end of the day, James go be James. He hears the stuff that people say. He go take care of his body. He understands that, you know, when you play with Brooklyn, KD, you don't have to, you know, have all that firepower. So maybe, you know, maybe he didn't work as hard in the summer, but trust me, he go want his lick back and he go come in with a revenge summer, and I'm excited to see him play.
Do you think he's going to double down? He's hearing all the talk and he's saying, this is revenge summer. I'm coming back better than ever.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Okay. JJ, what do you think?
In regards to what?
In regards to Harden and this idea that he's letting people talk, he's hearing it, he's seeing it.
I mean, that's every player. Every player is looking for motivation. Whether they say they do or not, every player hears everything. You can ignore Twitter for 2 years, which I did. I logged off all my social media accounts. My dad, my brother, my friends, they'd link me. Look what he said about you. You know, like, it's going to find you no matter what. Every player uses that as motivation. We're all psychos. We're all sickos. We're constantly looking for a source of motivation. Look, here's the bottom line. I think that the Sixers should actually absolutely bring him back. I think he's in a position where he can win. The big question to me is, what are you willing to pay him? What kind of pay cut is he potentially willing to take? I wouldn't give him the Supermax where he's making $60 million at age 37. And how do you build the roster around? They just lost Danny Green to an ACL injury. They really don't have a lot of two-way wings. And you can make an argument whether or not Tobias is, whether or not Danny Green is. Matisse Thybulle is a one-way wing. So they just have an absence on their roster right now of two-way wings. And we've seen in the playoffs how valuable those players are.
And put the stats back up, please, producer, because this is part of the conversation, Monica, around James Harden. The fact that for many years, exceptionally good, top five player in the NBA. But this past season, you see the numbers. 22 points a game, lowest since 2011, 2012. The low field goal percentage, lowest free throw, three-point percentage ever. Monica, and I know, Pat Bev, you're like, how can we really talk about his money? I'm just putting this in the context of how they should extend him. Let's say if they want to keep him here, Monica, how long do you keep him? What do you do with him, considering the player that you feel he is now?
Listen, I think we should really let go of vintage James Harden. I think that James can be a very important and successful third piece of a big three from the standpoint of being able to facilitate the basketball. He's an excellent passer. Double-digit assists were a common thing, whether you talk about with the Sixers or with the Nets. And then he's got to get his three-point percentage back up, and that way he continues to create space. So would I keep him? I'd opt into this next year. And then before I gave him a long-term contract, I'd have to see a little bit more of a commitment. And, Pat, I hear you on having your guys back. But I would be curious, since you're the one that seems to know him the best, at how we even got here. The expectation around James is always that he is a terrific scorer and playmaker in this league. And for it to get to this place where so many people are questioning, I just think he has to acknowledge his role in all of this. That's my only thing when we have this conversation. The most recent performance has not necessarily led to results.
Yeah, respect. And I respect that too, but you have to understand what's going on with basketball. This man changed his whole game when he came to Brooklyn. He changed his whole game. I don't know a lot of players that can change their whole game. This man went from averaging 30 points to literally coming back there and just be. The question was, you guys were talking about on ESPN, is Kyrie the point guard or the shooting guard? Yeah. Kyrie, man, let James, he be the point guard. He came in and became the point guard, upped his assists. Like, what else are we talking about? He had struggles in the playoffs. Everyone has struggles in the playoffs. A lot of superstars have struggles in the playoffs. That doesn't mean he shouldn't get paid. I don't like to hear NBA players, but former NBA players, talk about guys getting money when you guys are in the same position. JJ.
I think part of the thing.
Hold on, because I want to follow up on that because I remember you
wanted your $15 million a year.
Hey, and you understand. That's what I'm saying. I wanted to make my money. I want every player to make their money. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the Philadelphia 76ers as an organization. Does signing him to?
We can't do that because we're not the organization.
Oh, I'm paid to do that, Pat. I'm paid to do that. Okay, so I have to do it. I have no choice there.
Go ahead. Make your point about the Sixers organization.
No. So, does signing him to a super? James Harden is going to get bread. He's going to sign a long-term contract. The question is it a super max or is it something along the lines of a 4-year, $40 million a year, 160 versus 200, whatever it is on the super max? He's going to get paid. He should get paid. He's a fantastic player. But are you paying this version of James Harden the supermax? Because I don't know that you're getting the Houston version back. That's the question, Pat. And that's a fair question.
Oh, that's a fair, but we don't know because his role has changed over the years. Mm. That's all I'm saying. And you know, situation where you're confused, you're not happy, you come to Brooklyn hoping you'll win a championship, things don't go the way you planned, now you're, my hamstring's hurting. Like, it's a lot going into that, like, more than basketball. So let's not forget the human aspect of it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Monica, go ahead.
I'll give you that in terms of the human aspect, but you kind of said it, Pat, right? Like, his role has changed, and so to that end, in this new role, do you believe that the max is what you would offer him? Because if his role has changed, I'm not saying that he's not a very important contributing piece.
I'll offer him the super-duper-duper max.
Wow, because why?
It's okay, Pat, because sometimes I get on TV and leave with my heart instead of my head, too, so I understand.
No, who can guard James Harden? A team, not one player.
Okay. All right. You know what? We're going to keep talking about this. We're going to keep talking about the Harden situation because this is a great conversation, by the way. And you make a great point. All of you guys do. So we'll come back to this in just a little bit. But coming up, Jimmy Butler, the Heat. Are they not getting the respect they deserve? See, I think they're not, but I wonder what these guys think. They beat the Hawks, the Sixers. Are the Celtics their next victim? Back with you on Get Up. Let's play a little game of either or. Who will have the bigger impact in this series? JJ, Luka or Steph? Who will have the bigger impact in this series?
It's Luka because he has to have the bigger impact. For this to be a series, Luka has to play at an all-world level. There's just such a – and Dallas has great players, but there's a very significant drop-off on their team from their best player to their second-best player.
Monica, Jaylen Brown or Bam? Who has the bigger impact on that series?
Ooh, I think it's going to be Bam. Remember, in the bubble, Bam was fantastic versus this Boston Celtics squad the last time they met. I don't think that Bam has kind of hit his ceiling yet in terms of playoff performances. Jaylen, while he's steady, I think there's room for Bam, like I said, to have a signature performance.
And JJ, Tatum or Butler, who has the bigger impact in this series?
You know what? I'm going to go with Jason Tatum, and I think both of them will obviously have a huge impact in this series. The reason I picked Tatum is because I'm going to kind of co-sign what Monica just said. I think that Bam is really the key for the Miami Heat to win this series.
Really? Why?
Well, so you're talking about two of the best defenses in the NBA. And when you get down to a conference finals, seven-game series, it's hard to score in the half court. There's going to be so much attention paid to Jimmy Butler And when they run that little X action, Pat knows what I'm talking about, where they run an inverse pistol with the big on the wing, and on the weak side, they get into random cutting and gaggle action. Like, Bam has to be a quick decision maker. He has to facilitate. He has to go to dribble handoffs. And then if it's right, he's got to go one-on-one and score. And at times in the playoffs, he's done that really well. But I think he's got to be uber aggressive to score in this series.
I want to go back to Butler, though, because I find this so interesting. I just find him to be a consistently underrated star in this league. Oh. And it's as if some people just act like he's not there. He's not as great as he really is, which I think right now is one of the greatest in the league. What does he have to do, Butler have to do in this series for the Heat to win it?
He's got to be who he's been all playoffs and really throughout his career in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler has always been a better player in the playoffs. I played with him in Philly. Mm-hmm. That Toronto series when we lost in Game 7 on Kawhi's lucky shot.
No. I like that he got
When we lost in that series, Jimmy was by far our best player.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Jimmy was our best player in that series. Like, Jimmy has always been great in the playoffs. He just needs to be him. But I agree with you. I don't think we give Jimmy enough credit. Like, agreed. Jimmy's been one of the top four players in these playoffs.
Agreed. Pause that. Y'all series. I heard some people was ducking action. They didn't want to guard Kawhi that series either. I don't know who.
Are you pointing at me?
I wasn't assigned to Kawhi.
But look, to
answer that, though, I just think Jimmy has to just play at his pace. Mm-hmm. You could tell he controlled the pace when they played against Philly. When I mean by that, I mean the tempo of the game. Rather, one game might be presenting itself, I have to score 30 points. One game might present itself, I have to lock this person up. One game may present itself, man, I have to play, make and get others involved. So I just think he has to control the game, control the pace, and he do that, man, they put themselves in a good position.
I think you're right. It's exactly what he did in the Philly series. Oh. He just seemed to control. He seemed to be the master, Monica, of the entire series. Yeah. And it all seemed to go through him in one way or another. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we talk so much about Heat culture and the defensive signature of the squad, and that, to me, was a lot of the reason why Jimmy was able to be so successful. I had so much fun with our stats and information group digging into these numbers. He shot 51% on opportunities when the play started off of a defensive rebound, which is the Heat's defense obviously being able to lock down the offense. And then, in the first 12 seconds of the shot clock, he shoots 56%, and he's the second guy in terms of points scored in transition, only behind Tyrese Maxey in terms of players that have taken at least 20 shots in transition. So to me, when Jimmy's able to lead that defense, they can get out and run, they can get out in transition, he has that full head of steam, and he's such a problem to deal with.
You want to jump in?
Well, I wanted to make one other point about Jimmy and really the Heat in general. Jimmy does such a great job toggling between playmaker and scorer, and he does that naturally. Mm-hmm. And Spo has talked a lot about this. Like, he essentially functions as their point guard. And when you're in the regular season, because of blowouts, because of what's needed that night, he doesn't always have to score 25 points, but when you get to the playoffs, he's obviously more than capable of being that number one option and being a closer.
I want to get to another point, and it's a point of respect. And I want us to put up this graphic because I just don't understand it. The Heat are the top seed in the East, and yet going into the playoffs, I think they were ranked fourth by Caesars to make it to the finals. And then even in this series, look at that. Celtics favored. Pat Bev, do you feel like these Heat don't get enough respect? And if so, why?
Because they don't. At times, I do. It's not like they have a flaring superstar. Mm-hmm. You understand? Well, when people think Miami Heat, they think about the old LeBron, D. Wade, you know, Chris Bosh type of days instantly. You think of all, you know, the place filled up and all white. You think of everything but the actual team. This team been putting work in for the last 3-4 years consistently. They're a sleeper team. You go in Miami, you know how Miami is. You're not going to be in your room all day. I think that plays a big part. they go under the radar. They've been doing it consistently for, you know, 3-4 years. They can go from playing a man. They can go from playing a zone. I like the Heat.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you look at this Heat team, I think top seed, and you're talking about a sleeper. And that says all you need to know. Their culture, the way they develop their players, all these role players coming in, guys who are undrafted, making all these major contributions. It's an amazing team.
I'll say it. Yeah. The reason they don't get enough respect is because we don't talk about them enough.
Well, we're around talking
the,
about them today.
Around the NBA, they get a lot of respect. Within the league, they get a lot of respect. There's respect for the culture. There's respect for Spo. There's respect for the program that they built, the way they've developed players. They get ultimate respect from people in the league. We don't talk about them enough on national television.
We're talking about them today. We're changing the narrative. Let's go on the record with Pat Bev, who's going to change the narrative right now. Best player left in the playoffs. Who is it? Wow, look at him. He's at a loss for words. I don't know how.
No, I'm not lost for words. It's Luka. It's Luka. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
Everybody knows that.
Okay. Is Giannis the best player in the NBA?
I'm gonna give you guys a long pause. Right? Like you feel me?
The dramatic yeah. Tension is killing me.
And then I'm gonna go, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. There's the payoff, folks.
There's a pause behind, like,
Pat, have you done this before? Your Twitter mention is about to be blown up. But what about?
Yes, okay. Though, you have to go with them.
I got another one for you. Can KD and Kyrie bring a title to Brooklyn?
Can they bring a title to Brooklyn? They need a lot of help.
Okay, but can they?
With a lot of help.
So you're saying, yes, they can. What kind of help do they need?
A lot. A lot. And I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm just saying they just need a lot of help. You know, it's three really good teams that's going to be in the Eastern Conference next year for sure. They just need a lot of help.
Right now can't bring them to the finals, but with help they can make it.
Yeah, okay. With help.
Okay. So let's talk about the playoffs coming up tonight. Big night, NBA on ESPN. NBA countdown tips off 7 Eastern, followed by the NBA draft lottery, right? Then it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics Heat, 8:30 Eastern. Everything is also streaming live on the ESPN app, so you can watch it anywhere. Now, meanwhile on planet Earth, check this out. First pitch, Red Sox game, DJ Steve Aoki, the electronic DJ. Where is he throwing to?
Oh.
Just a bit high. What do you guys think?
For the kids.
I'm impressed mostly by the windup.
Yeah.
The windup really threw me off.
I
thought
serious.
He was going underhand for a second.
You think?
Do I think he was serious? Yeah, I've actually thrown a first pitch before. It was at the Los Angeles Angels game, and I nearly broke Mike Trout's shin and ended his career. And I've played baseball when I was a pitcher.
Oh, no. What?
You get nervous, man. What? And the hit and the mound's elevated. Yes, so exactly.
Check this out. Musicians
it's way more elevated than you realize.
I gotta say this though, musicians do not always have a good track record with the first pitch. Remember 50 Cent? Can we watch that one? Can we put that one up?
Way
I know
to
you,
the
look
yeah,
at this.
I remember.
Oh.
50,
yeah.
Which one's worse?
Oh.
Which one's worse?
That's worse. That is worse.
The DJ is worse to me. No.
DJ's worse, Monica?
At least he threw the ball. I don't know what 50 was doing there.
That guy just stood there, though.
The 50 reaction is the best of all. I love that part. All right, well, coming up, Patrick Mahomes. Man, let's watch some more. Can we? No, okay. Patrick Mahomes owned the West, but is this the year his dominance ends? Brand new projections for the AFC West are coming up. Plus, how's Tiger Woods feeling? Can he actually win the PGA Championship? We've got a live report. We'll see him in his practice round, hopefully a little later today. Oh boy, the Tiger, is he on the prowl? Get up! More coming up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm Malika Andrews, host of NBA Today, and we're hitting the road with a whole crew.
I'm the most unbiased person on this panel.
So get ready for some special guests. At what point did you know?
Yeah, night before.
All the breaking news.
There's a growing confidence that Joel Embiid will be back.
And of course, unforgettable moments. Is that my watch? No! I guess that says it all! Join us for NBA Today weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN.
Back with you on Get Up, and there he is, Tiger Woods on the golf course at Southern Hills. This is from yesterday as he prepares for the PGA Championship. Tiger's going to be talking at 1 Eastern today. His news conference is going to be carried live on SportsCenter. And, you know, whenever Tiger plays, you always feel like he's got a chance, especially when it's a major. Caesars Sportsbook currently has Tiger at 60-1 to win this event. That's tied for 23rd. While he might be a long shot, to win would make Woods the first player to win multiple majors at 4 different venues. Jack Nicklaus is the only other player to win multiple majors at 3 different venues. So with all eyes on Tiger, we now bring in our guy from the PGA Championship, Gene Wojciechowski. Gene, so great to see you. Gene, what's the mindset coming in for Tiger after this up-and-down Masters that he had recently?
Well, I'm not going to try to paint lipstick on a pig. He did not play well on the weekend of the Masters, but he did make the cut, and almost nobody thought he could do that. So I think based off the way that he played that week at the Masters, that he survived, basically, I think he feels confident coming into this week. Certainly, he's had 5 more weeks to get that leg stronger, that reconstructed leg and foot stronger. And I think he's felt the difference. He told us on Sunday, when he was playing 9 holes, they felt significantly stronger. So that's a good thing for Tiger. Then, of course, you always have to factor in who he is, his experience, his competitive level, his knowledge of this place, his short game. His swing is looking very good this week. I think he feels as if he has a real chance this week. Maybe not to win, but to be competitive.
Okay, and you know, one good thing about this particular course, it's not like Augusta, all those hills. It's a tough course to walk. This course is a little bit different, so maybe it's going to be easier for him. But what's his preparation been, and how does it compare to the way he prepared for the major before?
Well, to your point about the difficulty of walking this course, it is sneaky hard, said one of the caddies out here, about a 7.5 or 8 on a scale of 10. And if you think Augusta National is probably a 9, 9.5, you get some idea. So it will be a little bit easier. His prep work, 9 holes on Sunday, 9 holes on Monday. He might play 9 today, might play 9 tomorrow. He's still figuring that out. But the bottom line is he's 46 years old. He's had multiple surgeries, so certain body parts feel a lot older than the 46 years old. By his own admission, he knows he can't put in the number of practice sessions that he has in the past. He has to put a governor switch on what he does prepping for a tournament.
And so with all that considered, and we talked about it earlier, Vegas has him as a 60-1 long shot. I think everybody always wants to know, what are the chances that he's in real contention for this?
Well, it depends on what your level or what your definition of success is. Would I be surprised if he made the cut? No. Would I be surprised if he finished in the top 15 or 20? Absolutely not. To me, that is part of the progression of Tiger Woods in this comeback. Could he be in contention on Sunday? Of course he can. I mean, he does have the game. He doesn't hit it as far as he once used to. He says that. But this course isn't necessarily a super long course. It's the kind of course where a short game can matter, and he certainly has that.
Oh, wow. Well, you say top 15, 20. I agree with you. That would be a huge success for him, but I know there's a lot of people out there going to say he's always got a chance to win it. Gene Wojciechowski, thank you so much.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, it's the year's second major, and right here on ESPN, the 104th PGA Championship, Thursday, 2 Eastern from Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our first round coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+. Joe Buck and Michael Collins are going to provide an alternate telecast on ESPN from 1 to 2 Eastern, then continuing from 2 to 5 Eastern on ESPN. All right, let's talk some football. Play a little game of more or less. Ryan Clark, Rob Ninkovich, Jeremy Fowler joining us. And we start with the Cowboys. RC, more or less, the Cowboys, 10.5 wins or greater.
I think I'm going less for the Cowboys, and I know everybody, RC, is a Cowboy hater, but because we had this segment, I wore this jacket and this shirt. I'm wearing your guys' colors, but I'm looking at this team. This is a 10-7 football team this year, so they're going to have less than 10.5 wins.
Okay, and we can also say 10.5, too. I know. People will talk to me about that. Nico, the Dolphins are going to have more or less than 8 wins next season.
The Dolphins are going to have more than 8 wins. You look at where they were at last year. They were a team on the rise. And yes, I know they have a new head coach, but you look at their draft and what they've brought in. The talent alone that they have in that building is going to have to give them more than 8 wins. So I'm going with more. I like the Dolphins this year. I think they're a better team and a better offense right now.
Okay, and a lot of people in Miami saying playoff or bust. Jeremy, will the Chiefs have more or less than 9.5 wins this season?
More, way more. What about this blatant disrespect to put the Chiefs at 9.4 wins? Are you kidding me? Patrick Mahomes' Andy Reid battery has averaged at least 12 victories in each of the last 4 years. So they're going to load up. I'm told they're low-key excited about their sneaky good draft. They feel like they're going to be better. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is going to step up, have a big year. Loss of Tyreek Hill might affect them in a game or two, but not 3 or 4 games. They're going to win double-digit wins.
Thank you, because I agree with you. FPI, by the way, gives the Chargers and the Broncos, get this, a higher chance to win the AFC West than the Chiefs, who've won the division in 6 straight seasons. Look at this. This is incredible. Kansas City's tough schedule certainly factors into all of this, and all 4 AFC West teams are among the top 15 in FPI's overall rankings, the only division that can make that claim. So, yes, it is a tough division, but let's go through it. Which team is going to win the AFC West this season? Jeremy, who you got?
I was pumping that old Chargers theme song this morning, Ryan. We're the Chargers. It's coming. It's their year. They got a top 6 quarterback. I don't trust Denver yet, even though they have the acquisition of Russell Wilson. He's got something to prove. The Kansas City Chiefs, they are a little flawed, even though I just pumped them up. And then the Raiders haven't won the division since, like, boy bands were popular back in the early 2000s. So the stage is set for the Chargers. They got the best offensive personnel in the division, and the defense just loaded up with free agents and draft picks. They're going to be a lot better.
Nico, who you got?
Listen, this is the toughest division to try and figure out who's going to win the actual division. But I'm not betting against the Chiefs. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Andy Reid. They have a track record. Their offense is always explosive. So I really think I'm going to go with the Chiefs this year. I know everyone's probably like, oh, Ninkovich, go with the Chiefs. But listen, I know this division's tough. It wouldn't surprise me if the last place team won the division or the first place team last year ended last in this division. This division is so jam-packed with talent that it's going to be a great one to watch this season.
RC?
I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers. I talked to Brandon Staley at the LSU Pro Day this year, and for 30 minutes he talked to me about the way they needed to improve their defense because they understood who Justin Herbert was on offense. And he asked me a simple question. If you can build an offense around a great talent at quarterback, why can't you build a defense around a great talent at safety like Derwin James? That's what J.C. Jackson was about. That's what Khalil Mack was about. That's what the draft picks on defense was about. This is a team that could move the football on anybody and understood they can have an MVP-level quarterback in his third season. But what you now have is a defense defense that can get stops in crucial moments, turn the football over, and create short fields for this offense. I think the Los Angeles Chargers are going to be a team that have an opportunity to challenge the Buffalo Bills to win the entire AFC.
I tell you, it's going to be such a tough division. Any of these teams could be in it. My pick is the Chiefs, and here's the reason. And it took me a long time to come to this place. After they traded Tyreek Hill, I was like, well, this team might be done. But I've heard it over and over again, and now I'm a believer. They have Andy Reid. They have Patrick Mahomes. As long as they have those two elements, they've got to be considered a favorite. I know everybody else has been on the come up. I know that all these other teams are looking really strong. But this team gets it done every single year. It just seemed to find a way. They're in such sync as coach and quarterback. They're in such sync as head coach and quarterback that I think you still got to consider them the team to beat. Now, I'm noticing that nobody here picked the Broncos. RC, why not?
Well, I think some of that is the element of the unknown. We all know who Russell Wilson is, but we don't understand and know how these teams are going to play. The other thing is the other two teams are really good, and we've seen the Los Angeles Chargers play offense and now build defensively. We've watched the Kansas City Chiefs year after year after year win the AFC West. We don't know about the Denver Broncos. You don't know if those pieces will fit. You don't know what it's going to look like defensively now, adding another piece in Randy Gregory, or if Russell Wilson jumps right in and we could see the moon balls the way we saw in Seattle. We understand they have a great run game with a young running back, but we don't know who this team is going to be. And I believe because of that reason and some of the things we've seen from the other teams as far as improvement and things they've already proven on the field, the Denver Broncos are going to be in a state where they're going to have to show me. So it's going to be more like they're in Missouri, not the other team.
Ah, good point. All right, guys, great job. This is going to be so interesting, especially in that division. Well, coming up, you know what's going to be really interesting? The top two teams in the East on a collision course tonight in Miami. What is it going to take for Jason Tatum and the Celtics to beat the Heat? We're talking about it next.